I'm hopeful, regardless of the outcome. Boost the positive energy without one. Sorry about the jab, I'm on a holy field. I'm bearing fruit, but demons try to eat them like Yoshi meal. I piss them off the Batman like Falcone deals. Jungle full of predators, I know how Mowgli feels. So I got the fire, refuse to live in fear. I can spot suppliers, eating fresh rugs. Call me private label.
Oh, yeah, welcome to the Wednesday episode. I don't know what day it is, y'all. I'm working every day of the week these days. Between disaster recovery and all the things that need done around here. But anyway, this is the Permaculture Pimp Cast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is my passion. The only PIMP cast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. And remember, PIMP stands for Permaculture is my passion. For all the people out there that are likely to get a little bit offended. Well, this episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Remember, handle all your personal needs. Well, yourself. Yeah, if nothing in these latest disasters haven't taught you anything else, you know you can't, who you can't rely on. And we're going to cover a lot of that today. And as far as my whistleblower, y'all, don't worry. It's all going to make sense in a minute. I want to give a shout out to Redemption Shield. Look, right here, I'm going to prove it. Bare feet. And shorts. And guess what? I got them on. I'm G'd up from the feet up because I got my feet on this Redemption Shield right now. Remember, 10% off with promo code PERMA. EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. And don't forget Harvest Right freeze dryers. Hey, before I forget, coming up real soon, Kentucky Sustainable Living is going to be having their festival October 26th and 27th. And hey, y'all, sign up. For their dinner, at that dinner, it's going to be a promotion to help Caleb House. And if anybody doesn't know what that is, basically they rescue children, and what KSL is doing is extraordinary. Plus, it's going to be a fantastic festival. If I weren't over here doing serious remediation up here, folks, I'll cover hopefully some of that in here with William as well. But anyway, we'll talk about all that stuff later, y'all. I want to jump right into it, and I want to thank everybody that's on here live. I know it's late in a lot of different places, me being one of them. Normally, right now, I'm about ready to tuck it up and go into bed. But look, y'all, I promise you, a whistleblower, he's going to expose what's really happened on the ground out here at this cleanup. And surprisingly, this whistleblower just happens to be my son. If you don't know, William, why don't you? Son, I don't know how well everybody can hear you right now, so I'm just going to kind of, somebody wrote there, Homestead Twins. Dual pimps. Boy, if y'all don't ever get to meet those guys, man, I'm telling you, life is too short, man. I want to give a shout out to my man up north. I mean, of all the comments here, that's the one that my eyes just focused right on. Well, y'all, look, there's a lot of stuff going on. If you haven't seen Bear Independence's latest video, his live, I'm going to encourage everybody at some point in time to go check it out before they scrub it. And I'll put it this way. Bear's a friend of mine. He's a friend of William's, too. He's a friend of my family. And when Bear prefaces something by saying, hey, I'm not suicidal, you know you ought to be paying attention. He isn't easily given to exaggeration or hyperbole or anything like that. And what he's saying is some legit stuff. So, William, without further ado, why don't you tell everybody where you've been and what you've been doing?
Well, first off, let's start it off with the same way Bear did. I am not suicidal. And I can confirm that everything Bear said in that video is 100% accurate and it's 100% true. I've been in, I was with Bear's group most of the time. And we were stationed in Jonesboro, Tennessee. And, I mean, I've been all over Tennessee. I've been all over North Carolina. I've seen the devastation. I've been in the worst parts of it. I've been in some of the areas that have been remediated. In fact, I've got my notebook that I've had with me the entire time so I don't forget anything and I can be 100% accurate. It's way worse than what the news is saying. And I don't have Bear's experience when it comes to disaster relief and stuff like that, but it was way worse than I was expecting. It's one thing if you have flooding in a place like Florida. It's absolutely devastating, for sure. But in an area like this where there's mountains on either side of this creek, it funnels the water and it takes out everything downstream. Once it starts hitting these flood levels, it takes out everything downstream. There were immediate effects of the houses going away. There's going to be some midterm effects of like people getting cold because it's going to be 4 to 6 months before power is back on. And then there's going to be some long-term effects due to the toxicity of the mud. I mean, it's, and like, despite all that, 99% of the people that I encountered, 99% of the locals that I encountered are absolutely cheerful. They're like, hey, like, especially the ones that didn't lose any of the family members. There's one gentleman I'm thinking of, Baird. The only thing he asked me to do is not use any names. Understandable. There's one gentleman I can think of. Every time I see this guy, it's like a refresher. Like, it's just being in his presence is just refreshing. Because every time I ask him, how's he doing? He's like, I don't have to go to any funerals today, so it's a pretty good day. He lost everything. Him and his wife watched his house get destroyed and get filled with toxic sludge. And yeah, I mean, there's so much doggone information that I got. I think it'd be better if you fielded me questions. Otherwise, like, I could. Also, guys, I'm freaking sleep deprived, so there's that as well. Dad, if you could field me questions, I could answer. Or I
yeah,
could...
let me back up a little bit, because before I watched any of Bear's video that came out today, and by the way, folks, if you could hit the thumbs up, because it tells, look, y'all, we have got to get this information out here, and I wanted him to go live with me because you don't sit on this kind of information. It needs to get out. This is how people get bumped off, when you hold on to valuable stuff like this. And then if you put it all out, if you think you're going to hold it for a while and then later on, oh, I'll cover it a week from now, I'll drop. Yeah. Ask Andrew Breitbart how that panned out for him. So we're going to drop it all. When he called earlier, I was a little bit nervous, because this is just like Bear said, man, it's this kind of information that the powers that shouldn't be don't want you to know. Now, William, you were stationed up in, like you said, you were all over the place, but you were in more of the rural parts of North Carolina, things that aren't, everybody keeps talking about Asheville. And I remember talking to a lady at the gas pump. She didn't have any money to fill up her vehicle, so I ended up filling it up for her. And she's sitting there talking to me at this gas pump over at the Ingles, and she's like, I am so sick and tired of hearing the radio talk about Asheville. When if you were to look at Marshall, Burnsville, Hot Springs, all these other places around here that nobody wants to talk about, they are absolutely decimated. And I've been spending my time, and I'm going to hopefully cover some of that based on what you bring up first. I've been spending my time, and your mom as well, along with a number of other people out there in Marshall. I'll come to that in a minute. But let's talk about, first of all, you were off the beaten path, way off the beaten path. And I know you don't have a great understanding as to what was being exposed in the media, because you weren't watching any of it.
Yeah.
But what were the chief concerns that everybody had to worry? I mean, right off the bat, were you guys worried about the water or anything else about it? What can you tell us about it?
Part of what I was doing out there was like immediate needs, meeting immediate needs. So we had food, water, and fuel with us. And the fuel that we're giving out is largely gas, diesel, so people can build their own doggone roads, and propane, so people can cook and they can stay warm. Also, what we were doing was reconnaissance. Now, I lucked out and I was with an amazing man whose job in the military was actually human intelligence. He taught me a lot as far as acquiring intelligence and acquiring information that's pertinent to what's going on. So that's a lot of what we did. People's immediate needs, like, it's just a very self-reliant and selfless group of people out there. So whenever we're going through, like the first time around, we're asking people like, hey, what do you need? We got everything. What do you need? And every single time they say, oh, I'm good for today. Go ahead and check my... Now, this Siri just popped up on my computer, so that we'll see what that's about.
I didn't...
Is that coming through, y'all?
You're fine. Okay. It got wacky for a minute, but go ahead.
Okay. So, and this is a selfless group of people. Every single time, they're like, I'm fine for today. Go ahead and see what my neighbor needs. Every single time. They just keep passing us on. Now, the downside of that... Now, the second time through, when we're like, hey, take this doggone stuff, they start taking it because they know they actually need it. They're just selfless people. it's sad and it's frustrating, but it's a very selfless group of people. At the same time, we're acquiring intelligence. What they're mostly needing right now, they're good on food. They're good on water, like bottled water, I'll say, like drinking water. But one thing that they're consistently needing is fuel. Now, what they're not understanding, what they're not taking into consideration is that unlike Grindstone Ministries, a lot of these other groups are going to start leaving if they keep telling them that, hey, I'm fine for today. They're thinking about their like today's needs, their immediate needs today. They're not thinking about 4 to 6 months from now when the power still is not on and it's getting cold. We're about to go into the cold, like the winter months. I think the first frost is coming up here soon, especially in some of those higher altitude communities. So y'all like
tonight is going to be below freezing here. Yeah.
Tonight. And then some of you guys might be wondering like why I'm in a hotel right now. I'm headed home to retool, fix the truck up. The truck got beat up on some of these roads. I got to get that fixed up. And then I'm going to grab. Yeah, I'm retooling and then I'll be right back out there. And also I'm bringing Emily and the baby and keeping them at my parents' house. Cause that's honestly the safest place they can be right now.
Yeah, you got that right. Talk to me about, there's been a whole lot of rumors out there regarding, and I've been very, very critical regarding, they basically want everybody to believe there's a bunch of renegade hillbillies up here, a bunch of wife swapping, sister trading, whatever. I mean, they're painting us like a bunch of whack jobs up here in these mountains. And, you know, and I did a video the other day. It was funny. I even talked about it in the last podcast that, you know, for a while there, we were getting somewhere in the neighborhood of about 300-350 subscribers a day. I did that video on how I had heard it on NPR about how they're saying basically the number one threat out here right now are these renegades, these white supremacists and all this other stuff. And I basically said, no, that's a bunch of hogwash. And then I literally went from 350 subscribers a day, not that I care about a subscriber count, down to about 10. So anybody that says the scales aren't weighted, well, you have only to look at that. So what's your opinion regarding, did you run into anybody telling you to squeal like a pig or?
No. And in fact, so the people there right now are a little bit scarred because here's what's been going on. Fake NGOs have been going out there. They've been taking checks from these people saying, yeah, I'll come fix your stuff. And then they just disappear. Also, there was a militia group. I did not confirm this with my own eyes, but multiple locals confirmed this separate from each other. And they really have no reason to lie. And in fact, one of them had a run-in with this militia group. And that militia group's name is Cajun Army. I understand that there's a Cajun Navy out there, but Cajun Army was out there trying to secure the supply stations. And this was confirmed from multiple locals from multiple locations. So it's not just like one guy heard a rumor and then started spreading the rumor. These are people that, keep in mind, do not have communication with the outside world right now. So it's not like they're going from holler to holler saying, hey, I heard this happen, and then they start spreading the rumors. Cajun Army apparently came out there, full tactical gear, all that crap, and started trying to secure, quote unquote, the supplies. Now, there are, outside of that, there are illegals that are out there that are looting right now. So they think because somebody's entire life is washed down the river that they're fully entitled to whatever washes up on the shore. A lot of those illegals have been arrested. I got that confirmed from a guy who was on one of the SARS teams, the search and rescue teams. The sheriffs have been going through and they've been arresting illegals like crazy. And a lot of the illegals are coming from very specific farms that use their, I don't want to out the farm because some of those farms are kind of critical right now. But a lot of these farms use the illegal work for the harvesting, for the picking, stuff like that. Those guys went through and they started, looting people's belongings. And even if the belongings were still on the same property, they were still viewing it as like a free for all. But the militia groups got ran out by the locals. The locals kicked them out. But
these militias, son, I just want to point this out that there is such a thing as COINTELPRO, and it wouldn't shock me none if the FBI were the ones that I mean, I don't know how many times we got to see it over and over. I mean, this goes all the way back to the Black Panthers, where they'll come out here, they'll get a bunch of guys acting like they're, you know, some hillbillies up in wherever. I have a hard time believing you got some dudes jumping up out of the bayou, drove all the way up here to do some looting. I think this, I wonder if these people were posing as, you know what I mean?
There's that, but then there's also a, I could see it both ways because there's a power vacuum right now. So it could be one or the other. I'm not entirely sure. Supposedly that helicopter that came and blew down, that washed out all that supplies drop in Burnsville, apparently that was a helicopter from Cajun Army. But what is interesting is that they're using the militias as an excuse for the 101st and the 82nd Airborne to get out of the area. Well, the militias were there before the 82nd, like the 82nd just recently left.
Yeah.
Just recently left.
That can't be overemphasized. Yeah. Please repeat that again, because as a basis of understanding, back when Hurricane Andrew happened back in 92, I was in the 82nd Airborne. Okay. And we were on the first thing smoking down to Florida to get that cleaned up back then.
94. I got there before they did.
That's okay. The motto of the 82nd Airborne is all the way, but what a lesser known motto is anywhere in the world in 18 hours. Okay, Fort Bragg as the crow flies is about an hour and a half away from here. I'd like to know why the 80 Deuce wasn't on the loose out here in Western North Carolina when this happened, when they had us in 92 C-130s. Like I said, I mean, you can drop us anywhere. And, you know, we were down there doing the cleanup.
Oh, it gets worse. So the 82nd and the 101st, I'm not talking bad on the individuals that are in the military. They're
following orders, right?
They were out there bored. I'm dogging the people in charge of them, or whoever's giving these orders. That's who I'm dogging. The 82nd and the 101st out there, they were bored because they were given these such tight reins on what they could and couldn't do. And they left after they were there and left after the militia got kicked out. Like that, wow. The timeline isn't adding up. And then also the 82nd Airborne, they were there. They brought, what was it? There was like a handful of them camping out. They brought no equipment with them other than these like future space age side-by-sides. By the way, if we want to start a GoFundMe for one of those things are bad. They can get anywhere up in that mountain. That thing, and it was quiet too. It sounded like, it looked like something from Halo. But anyway, that's one thing that they were actually able to help with, was that they could get us anywhere we needed to, but they had some rules. There was also one guy there that was there for, he was a fireman, and he was there to cut down trees. The downside of that is that they didn't bring a chainsaw, and they brought no rigging equipment. So, like, we have higher trained, better qualified arborists on the grindstone at the grindstone headquarters. So one thing that they were really able to do was get us anywhere we needed to go, anywhere we needed to communicate. But they could not make direct contact with any of the civilians. So like they would have to use us, like if they were going to go help a family or something like that, they couldn't make direct contact with them. We would have to come to the 82nd, bring them along, and act as like the middlemen, basically. That's how that went. And then they left. They got there and left after the militia got kicked out. There was one guy that was telling me about his wife kind of going down to one of the supplies warehouses and saying, hey, I've got this stuff locked away in the shed. Would it be helpful if I brought it down? Just being a sweet, selfless lady. Oh, keep in mind, their house got damaged by a mudslide. They weren't even by the river, but they got damaged by a mudslide. And her first thought was, how can I help these other people who lost their homes? And then the Cajun Army starts telling her, like, yeah, you need to go get that stuff right now and bring it down here, like, immediately. You need to, just trying to bully her. And then that guy, he got fed up with it and went down there and brought some Southern justice. He's like, you ain't talking to my wife like that.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You know what, man? I've known a lot of coon asses in my life, dude, and they don't behave that way. I mean, in fact, if when we were figuring out where we wanted to settle down, Louisiana was one of the places we were considering just because of the hospitality of all those folks down there. they don't behave that way. That's why I'm willing to believe that these were more than likely COINTELPRO. And then as soon as your mom and I, we were literally backing out to go do the chores, and we hear, and we don't hold it against me, son. Your old man didn't turn gay. Trust me, we were listening to NPR just to kind of hear. I want to hear what lies are going on, right? Yeah, don't worry, I'm not going to
soft.
And I'm not going to start talking like this, son. And you know, I mean, there's no sugar in my tank, believe me. and ain't gonna be none. But your mom and I were sitting here. We're about ready to do the chores, and then they start talking about the number one threats going forward. I'm thinking they're going to talk about toxins. I'm thinking they're going to talk about, you know, all the bodies and all these other things that could potentially happen. And no, this is what they're telling. They're telling us militias out there. I'm like, okay, I can already see the script. And that's why as soon as I got done, I said, hey, go set that thing up on the porch. I'm about to make a video right now because I can already see where the narrative is going. And that's exactly why I did it.
Hey, real quick. There seems to be some confusion in the chat about whether or not it's Cajun Navy or Cajun Army. Nobody said anything about the Cajun Navy. I don't even know who those people are, but multiple people from different locations that do not have communication to themselves or the outside world said Cajun Army. That was consistent. There was one lady that was saying Cajun Navy wouldn't do that.
Let me get you squared away, son. Cajun Navy is legit. These guys, these old boys are absolutely legit, man. They do some awesome work. I ain't never heard of the Cajun Army in my life until now.
Yeah, I've never heard of those people before until this time. And, like, I didn't want to say, like, yeah. So yeah, it was confirmed by multiple people from different locations that have no contact with the outside world. They said Cajun Army multiple times.
Yeah, and that's why I'm absolutely – the thing is, it's so ridiculous just on the face of it. It's strange credulity to even think that somebody's just going to roll up from Louisiana of all the places in the world. Now, granted, you know, one thing about Asheville, you know, those folks ain't going nowhere to loot, but, you're going to tell me this ridiculous story that a bunch of coon asses decide, hey, we're going to jump in the first thing smoking on up to North Carolina and go loot. Come on now. Even on the face of it doesn't make any sense. So I'm going to chalk that one up to COINTELPRO. So, talk to me about some of the concerns regarding toxins and things of that nature.
So, if you didn't know, this is one giant land grab. If you were unaware, that area is sitting on a bunch of lithium, a bunch of cobalt, and a bunch of other minerals that fit the new green agenda with all these lithium batteries and stuff like that. Also, with some of these old timers, you can see evidence of long-term lithium exposure as well. And that didn't click until I was like driving back and I was like, okay, that's starting to make sense. I'm sorry, Dad. What was your question? What were you asking? Oh, the toxins.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, everybody give him a break. He hasn't slept in a very long time. And, you know, he's
a brown washcloth and a brown towel because I haven't showered in a week either. So yeah, give me a break here.
So if he's not as lucid as ordinarily he would be, folks, that's the reason why. And you know, I'm glad you decided to, you know, kind of tuck it in for the night.
Yeah. Okay. So the toxins, there's a lot going on right now. There are a lot more people that passed away than they want to admit. There are rumors that have sort of been confirmed that Asheville Hospital is now turned into a morgue. There are other locations where they are stacking bodies. And in like one particular location, they have more bodies there than the total death count so far. So, and there are also a lot of bodies that are still stuck in the mud. They were marked and then they were deemed, not a good use of resources at the moment. So they're still there. They're still decomposing. There's that. There's also sewage. A lot of people had septic tanks that just got washed away. So there's a lot of sewage going on in the water right now. Here soon, I'll do a video. Hopefully tomorrow when I get home, I'll do a video and I'll get home, but I will be right back out as soon as the truck is squared away. I'll put up a video and I'll use some photos that I took while I was out there. There's not as many photos as that I wanted to take because I wanted to respect the fact that these people just lost everything. And I was trying to avoid getting anybody in the background. I'm not trying to take pictures of people's houses or anything like that so they can get on YouTube and relive the experience for as long as this YouTube video exists. So the photos that I have are kind of in the rural areas without homes, but there's dead bodies, there's sewage, there is high concentrations of lithium. You can actually see some of the veins in like on the creek sides and stuff like that. It's a light purple, almost reddish vein that you can see on top. It's lighter than sand, so it's going to rise to the top. There's also cobalt in the water. So lithium in small doses isn't necessarily that bad for you. But it's also what they give a lot of the psychiatric patients to make them docile and make them calm down. There's also, so there's one place. I don't know if I should say the location just yet. Well, yeah, I should say the location just in case you're in the area. Downstream of Irwin, there's a high chance that you have nuclear fuels in the water. There's a nuclear fuel station there that was, or it was like a testing site or something like that, that was damaged by these floods. They're doing leak tests, like dye tests on the piping right now to see if anything's leaking. I'm sure if there is, I'm sure they're going to lie about it. So, yeah, I have actually a Geiger counter with me. Everywhere I have tested has come up clean so far, but I'm not done testing. So there's that. And I also haven't tested downstream of Irwin. So there's that. But, yeah, the water is contaminated. They're not telling people to stay out of the muck. They're not telling people to not use the water, basically. Like it's a nightmare. So Dwight was asking about the fundraising. Tell us all how the fundraising is going for your work. Where do viewers go to help finance your work? The financing that I have is going, that you guys have provided, thankfully. I mean, like it's groups like this that are keeping these people alive right now. If we were to just let the government take care of it, there wouldn't be any more communities, honestly. Like if we just let the government take care of whatever was going on out there, there would be, everybody that I have encountered so far would be dead, honestly. Or living on very, very little food that they have put back, and or they would have died from the water. So there's that. But you guys are donating, what you guys are donating is going to mostly fuel to keep the excavators and like the machinery and all that stuff going, propane, and it's also going to be going towards generators and stuff like that. And then also, when the Holy Spirit leads me, I hand out cash to people. Like there's one family. Yeah, you guys are taking care of them. I promise you. You guys are taking care of them. I'm not about to start crying here on YouTube, but yeah.
Come on, son. Channel your inner Justin Rhodes. Come on.
That just sparked some rage, Dad.
Yeah, all right. I'll change the topic here for a second. Yeah. I do want to point out.
Yeah, hey, guys, you guys are providing more relief than any of the government right now. I promise you 100% of the money you guys are donating is going to the people directly, either in the form of fuel or in the form of generators or in the form, anything that I can do that I can channel this to keep people going, it's doing that. There's one, I can finish it. Yeah, you just sparked a little bit of rage in me, Dad, so I can finish this sentence now. There, for example, there's this special needs family. The husband, the wife and the daughter is special needs. They were sleeping in one end of the room. The husband was sleeping in the other end of the room, and a tree fell directly in between them. So that house is completely ruined. It looks like a chainsaw went through this house. So what they're doing is living in a house that was one of their parents. I can't remember which one. And it hasn't been lived in since the 90s. So a portion of the, I want to say it was close to three grand total, will be going and has gone to fixing this house up. It's going, there's also a contractor there that's helping. But a lot of the electrical stuff is squared away in that house now. They have working lights, they have working plugs. Yeah, they're squared away now, and they're living a little bit more comfortably. And that daughter is a sweetheart. She has no idea what is even happening. All she knows is that she has a whole lot more visitors, and she's so happy about that. People coming in and checking in on her. And yeah, that's where your guys' money is going. It's going directly to help families. And when the Holy Spirit leads me to give somebody a cash donation, that's where your money is going. Outside of the fuel, the propane, the supplies, the tools, the chainsaws, the generators, a lot of that stuff, like a lot of people's generators have been just sitting for years and years and years. Now they're working overtime 100% of the time, and they're crapping out on them. So there's that. Like when I go back out, I plan on picking up a few generators here in East Texas, where we still have a supply of generators, and bringing them directly to these people. Hopefully some that can run on propane and gas at the same time, because depending on the day determines which fuel they actually have.
Robster, thank you so much. Thanks everybody else for these super chats. I don't even know what those mean, but I guess it means money.
I don't know who they get sent. I think they get sent to, so far they're getting sent to your channel, Dad.
All right. So you know where that money's going. Son, I got to ask, let me just jump off the topic a little bit. What would ever possessed you to want to do something like this when you got a wife and a very small baby at home? What made you want to, you know, get out on the road and do something like this? I mean, not a whole lot of people would ever consider doing something like this under those circumstances. So why you?
It's because I have a wife and a baby. And if I would want somebody to do that for me, if I was in that circumstance, I couldn't imagine June or Emily going through any of this.
Yeah, I'll leave it there, man. You're going to get your old man choked up now. Let me go back to another thing. I'll go ahead and take the helm for a little bit here, because I'm working on my own little disaster scenario, and sadly, I can't go into a whole lot of detail right now, but in a town near us, I'll just say that very, very close, and I think you know what it is. I reported to someone we both know that we've had people down by the river. We've had 50 or 60. These are the workers that are down there scraping this town out. We've had 50 or 60 that had to be hospitalized for a number of ailments. We've had black boots come back green. We've had a barrel that has Oak Ridge National Lab on it that was found in Asheville, North Carolina. Tell me how that happened. And then the official story is, dig this, it came from Irwin, Tennessee, which, by the way, your mom and I just went by that nuclear place not like last week. It seemed completely undamaged. But anyway, says Oak Ridge National Lab on it, in a crate, the whole nine yards. But the official story is, dig this, went down the Nolichucky River, somehow made it all the way back up the river. I mean, dude, this is like something straight out of Beauty and the Beast. I guess we got enchanted barrels that just walk up the river all on their own. But anyway, it lands in Asheville. Now we got people that are coming up sick, and I'm going out of my way to reach out to people like Dane Wigington. I've been trying like nobody's business to get a hold of Mike Adams, man. You can find the bones of Bin Laden easier than getting a hold of that guy. Trying to get this soil tested over here because we got people coming up sick. I'm working with experts right now to figure out some remediation, some bioremediation to eat this stuff up. And I'm talking like eat up whatever radiation or anything else there might be down in these rivers right now. So we're working on a lot of things right now. And then lo and behold, I can't reveal who sent this to me, but it just came in. Son, I don't even think you know about this. Now, before I say this, we've also had reports of at least two dogs dying on the site that were down in that mud, two dogs, and a number of goats, if I'm not mistaken, that were also, that a lady had her goats down by the river, whatever. Anyway, half of them came up dead. Yeah. So with that said, I just get a text, and y'all can do with this what you want, but it's from an unimpeachable source in my view. So canines dying in Asheville area, four dead cadaver dogs, six more are dying. These are the dogs down in the mud. Man, I know your mom's down there, got to be choked up over this. Then I get this from a trusted source inside the CDC who liaises with FEMA. CDC is standing up large center in North Carolina, ordered out of routine. Sorry, y'all, this isn't written well. of glass vials for vaccines and blood samples. All CDC contractors were told to be ready to deploy no matter the region with BioLab 3 and BioLab 4 respirators and PPE. That's personal protective equipment for those that don't know. They were told it's for mold and Lyme disease. Yeah, They said in all the years they've been a part of the CDC and FEMA, they have never done this after natural disasters. And then there's more to it, but I'm not going to reveal who this is. But like I said,
you can tell me FEMA can't bring in some, or anybody can't bring in some doggone generators, but they got vaccines almost immediately. They, those vaccine places have started popping up lately as if like, oh, you didn't die from the flood? Here, let me go ahead and, since we're all worried about these vaccinations, since we're worried about flu right now, or we're worried about tetanus right now, let's go ahead and shoot you up with who even knows what. Thankfully, these people ain't buying it. They're not taking it. I mean, I don't know about the people in Nashville, but the people in the rural communities, they're like, nah, you can go ahead and get on out of here. I already had tetanus.
Yeah, shot in the arm, shot in the head. Either way, you wind up dead.
Yeah,
that's how these people roll, man. And that's exactly, I mean, they look at us as freaking chattel and cattle and everything else.
Yeah.
What, okay, so right now, I mean, you spent a fair amount of time going through all this. What's the general consensus of the people there? Do they realize it's a land grab? Has anybody of any of the people out there that you were helping out, did any of them recognize? I mean, I shouldn't have asked the question that way because it's a leading question, but what's the assessment of the people that are in these communities, on the ground, in these areas? What have they been approached by anybody? Because we've heard all these rumors about mining companies wanting to buy up whatever. I mean, what have they spoken of any of this?
It seems like they're okay. So I remember you telling the story about you doing the marksmanship and you were hitting the target that was furthest away.
Right.
That one first. And you were, they're not, they're focused on the, what, the 50 meter target right now. That's what they're doing. They're not thinking about that. They're trying to think about, how do I keep my family warm tonight? How much of this wood can I get up off my house? Is this house salvageable? That's what they're worried about. And I'm not about to bring up future problems to these people.
Well, have they offered it? I mean, have they said, hey, you know, sure is funny. Because in Bear's video, man, he's, I mean, it's record numbers of people that were hit up about being bought out. And then lo and behold, we got a storm. We had the great Dane Wigington from Geoengineering Watch on this show, and he proves beyond all doubt. Go to Geoengineering Watch. Everybody out there, after you're done watching this, of course, go to geoengineeringwatch.org and then watch Dane Wigington's very short 90-second video of how they used all of these NEXRAD towers to steer this storm on the western side into where it went. We had the equivalent. So for all the people out there that are critical saying, well, why didn't you guys evacuate? You had a hurricane. Let me tell you something. You had the equivalent of 2 years of all the water that goes over Niagara Falls, 2 years in 2 hours in certain places. Things like Bear, you know, who's been through, I don't know how many of these different disaster areas, where we're seeing weird anomalies, let's call them that, that just don't make sense in weird places. And so, folks, that's why nobody evacuated, because we live in the flipping mountains.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't get hurricanes in the mountains ever. Like, usually the mountains are notorious for blocking rain systems, like for blocking, disrupting, breaking apart these rain systems. That's why it's a temperate rainforest, because it rains gently throughout the year. You don't go very often with, you don't go very long with very, very heavy rains, and you don't go very long without, like, without rain. I do want to shout out Grumpy Acres real quick. He sent in, they sent, him and Angela sent in a bunch of freeze-dried food out there. Thank you guys so much. Sour Skittles were definitely a morale booster for a lot of the people out there. But yeah, it's a lot of these people aren't putting two and two together yet. But they have been like holding on to their property. They've been trying, like these mining companies and stuff have been trying to purchase this land for the past 20, I guess 30 years now. They've been trying to get a hold of this land for quite some time now, and they keep saying no. The locals keep saying no because it's generational land for the most part. It's land that they grew up on. It's land that their grandparents grew up on. And they're not giving, there's no amount of money you can offer a man whose family has been raised on this land for generations. They have very deep roots in that area. They know everybody in the community for the most part. And this is just one giant land grab. Dad, let me go through my notes and make sure I'm not missing anything.
By all means.
I'll hit the bullet points real quick. So FEMA isn't helping in the rural communities. Basically, they are doing a few things. What they're doing – okay, so here's an example. FEMA hasn't helped the Cherry Grove donation site one bit. But whenever me and a few other guys went and did some intelligence operations out at the disaster relief site over in Jonesboro, Tennessee, we were seeing like, okay, what are they offering these people? What can we tell people to go get and stuff like that? What are they? What kind of help are they providing? There were four DEI hires there. Three of them couldn't be bothered to look up from their phone. And then when I was asking them, like, hey, some of these people in North Carolina are closer to this Tennessee location. How can we, like, can they come here instead of going to Asheville? Because an Asheville trip for some of these people is going to be a three-hour drive. That's good, and they're going to be passing that Jonesboro location. So they didn't have an answer. They called their boss, and then eventually they got off the phone, and they said, it's going to be a lot of paperwork, so just send them to the Asheville location. Anyway, but they also had Cherry Grove listed off as their top number one supply drop set station, their number one donation station. FEMA has no ties. I can't exaggerate that enough. They have absolutely no ties to that Cherry Grove location, but that's what they keep doing with all these different supply drop locations. There's another location that I can think of outside of Burnsville where they have literally dropped off one pallet of water and two inflatable tents, and that is now their location.
Oh, really?
Yep. That's one. They have a list of six different drop-off locations in the area. Those two are two of them, and that's literally what they do. Now, curiously,
so they drop a couple of trinkets just to say that they did their job. That's what they're saying.
That's what I'm inferring.
Okay.
That's what I'm inferring. Now, curiously, that pallet of water has gone untouched the entire time I've been there. They literally dropped it off in a random field, like off in the distance a little bit, and then left. They dropped off two inflatable tents and then just left. That pallet of water has gone untouched. Nobody is messing with that pallet of water. They might be helping like the cities and stuff, but people don't have access to these cities right now. People don't even, they tell them to get on FEMA.com, like disasterrelief.com. These people don't have internet. They don't have power. How are they going to get in contact with these people? That's what that is with FEMA. The Tennessee Department of Transportation seems to be steady working. It seems like those people, like the whole infrastructure for Tennessee seems to be doing the best they can to get everything squared away. And this is just my observation. They seem to be doing everything that they possibly can to get things squared away. The North Carolina Department of Transportation is doing a few different things that are a little weird. They didn't want to come in and start doing roads until the citizens started rebuilding roads. Also, I'm noticing with North Carolina Department of Transportation that they are hiring 100% illegal immigrants. So that being said, these illegals are a population that can die off and nobody asks questions about. It's not like Jim Bob up the road started dying. Jim Bob that works for NCDOT starts dying or starts getting cancer. And then everybody starts getting curious, like, how did he get cancer? And how did five of his coworkers get cancer? They are hiring illegal immigrants to come and do this dirty, nasty. They're in the toxic mud. They are like, you can see footprints. They are in the mud. They're hiring a population that nobody cares about if they start dying, and nobody's going to notice if they start dying.
Let me just jump in on to that point. Your mom and I basically went down there, down by the river, and I said, man, I ain't never seen, dude, I was like, what is going on here? All of the cleanup that was being done down by the river, I mean, there was not one person who didn't come over like 12 to an inner tube across the Rio Grande. I'm dead serious. I'm like, hold on, man. I ain't never seen this many illegals in my life up in here. What is going on around here? And it goes right back to, you look who they have out there. And this just burns me up 30 ways to Sunday. I don't care. Look, illegal or not, you're still a human being. Look who they get to spray all that glyphosate under all the power lines and stuff. Who do they have doing that? Yep. They supposedly got them suited and booted, but they got like a little dust mask on their face. And these vatos are out there spraying this stuff up alongside the fences or whatever. I went over there and about ripped the head off of two of them. I get over there. You can ask your mom. I went over to our neighbor next door, Chris, went over to his place, and I found these clowns, and I found the truck. And I'm looking on the back of the truck, basically where they're filling up their pump sprayers. Right there, man, skull and crossbones, glyphosate. I mean, like you said, they do not care. But I got news for everybody else out there. It ain't just these brown vatos that just came up from the southern border. They don't see you any differently. I mean, I'm dead serious. I mean, all like you said, these are populations they can kill off and nobody's ever going to notice. So if they got them, like I just said in that text I just read a little while ago from a very reliable source, 10 search dogs are dead by the river near Asheville, or 4 are dead, 6 are dying. I know of 2 dogs that died on the site that I was working near. Okay.
And this is why Bear said, I am not suicidal. This is why I'm saying I am not suicidal, because they will literally kill people for no reason. Now we're giving them a reason.
Yeah. But now that's why I wanted you to go live and just put it all on the table.
Yep.
So, hey, it's out there. What are you going to do now? I mean, you got what so far 840 people in this chat. So, it's out there, y'all. So now they got no reason. I mean, like I said, boy, it's like Dane Wigington said, man, this is like bring out the pitchforks kind of stuff. But every single worker I've seen down in that mud, I was like, where'd they get all these illegals? Where did they find this many? Because I know the population around here. In all the time I've lived in this area, you kind of get a sense of the demographics of people around here. You know what? By and large, there ain't a whole lot of people that live like me in the mountains, because let's face it, brothers can't stand the cold. I'll be honest with you. So you don't see a lot of brown people in higher elevations and stuff like this. Okay. I'm a little bit different. Y'all got a lot. There's more to me than normal, but man, honestly, last time I seen this many Mexicans in one spot, I was in Mexico.
Yeah.
So, yeah, take it away, son. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take you off your point, but I wanted to give you an amen based on what your mom and I have seen.
Hey, that's only page one of the notes. I'm not even done with page one.
All right. Drive on.
So another thing, locals are coming together to rebuild solely based off private donations. Like, as soon as the donations stop coming in, like the monetary donations mostly. And the reason I'm saying monetary donations is because like supplies is pretty doggone full. Like everybody's getting food, everybody's getting water, but people need like replacement generators and people need a consistent supply of fuel. Also that money can go towards rentals as well. Like rental equipment. A lot of these people in East Texas and stuff, or a lot of these companies in East Texas are working with the local area saying, yeah, I'll give you as cheap of a discount on or as much of a discount on these rentals as possible. Do what you need to do. We'll worry about the money later. So, yeah, it's almost 100% these locals rebuilding the infrastructure. They're rebuilding the roads. What people are able to get, the way people are able to get in and out right now, is 100% based off what these guys have done. They've just loaded up their tractors. A couple of boys had some tractors. One of them had a skid steer, and they just made it work. They're using the rubble that washed down to rebuild roads. Cool thing about asphalt is that it can be infinitely recycled. So there's that. That's one cool thing about it. All right, page two.
Hey, son, before you do that, let me address this question here. Somebody's saying collect water and soil samples and send them to independent labs. That's exactly what we're working on. Here's the problem is I got Dane Wigington out there, like I said, from Geoengineering Watch. He's helping me out. You would not believe how difficult it's like fusing DNA to find a lab that is not affiliated with the government or doesn't take orders or isn't, because most university labs are also who's greasing their pockets. Yeah, they do a lot of work for these big companies and out there. So it looks like we may have a Man, I'll tell you what, if anybody, man, if there was ever a crowdfunding that needs to get done right now, it needs to be for an independent test lab. Dead hey, serious.
That's one thing everybody can help with right now is everybody email Mike Adams. Give him my email or dad's email and just everybody, if everybody in this chat emailed Mike Adams, that would be a great help. Tell him to tell us what the proper sampling protocol is, how many different samples he needs, and we will take care of the chain of custody.
And I'll pay him. I'll pay him out of my own pocket. I don't care. I don't care what it costs. I will pay. I will get the money somehow. So I'm not asking Mike or anybody else to do it pro bono. But, man, I've been trying everybody I know. I've been trying to get everybody to reach out to Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Man, tell that dude to hit a player up, man. We need some testing in a bad kind of way. And like I said, we're working – we're not waiting for the results before we start working on the bioremediation. So right now, some of the things we're doing is working, first of all, with other experts in this area, us being one of them. If there's anybody that produces better compost around here, I don't know. But we're going to use compost along with a number of other things to work on bioremediation. And if you think it doesn't work, well, the only place in all of Chernobyl to this day that was never infected, you want to know what it was? You want to know what they produced there? Windrow composting. They were the pioneers of windrow composting. And the compost, basically, to this day, scientists have no understanding. John Kemp was just talking about it at Polyface when I was there. We know that through biology, we can chew up whatever's in there. It would just be really helpful to know, and we'll get that off and running. But, yeah. Yeah, so everybody, like William said, reach out to him. Sorry, son, go back to it.
Did everybody get that email? I just uploaded it. I just posted it in the comments. Mike's email is situationupdate@protonmail.com. So if everybody could spam that, that would be absolutely wonderful. Everybody just send him an email. I understand he gets a lot of emails about a bunch of different topics. But if we can somehow break through this, break and get into his attention, I will deliver it myself. I will sample everything myself. Dad can sample it. Like we
do. And I will pay him. Test
soil for like soil biology. We are used to sampling soil. We're used to making sure it is not contaminated by outside sources. This is familiar territory for us. Private donations are keeping the people fueled and fed. That's what's going on. A lot of these people are out of money. A lot of people are out there living paycheck.
Paycheck. You mean that $750, that loan?
Yeah. Yeah. I had a friend send me, JD sent me my friend up in DCAB, he sent me a screenshot of a tweet that he saw saying $157 million going out to Lebanon. And somebody commented, which part of North Carolina is that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I said before. We just need to rename North Carolina Ukraine, and we'll be cool. You know, everything will be fine.
Yeah, yeah. You get $750 loans. Don't worry. The money I'm handing out from you guys is not a loan. So there's that. You guys are keeping these people alive right now. I can't emphasize that enough. You guys are keeping these people alive. The water is dirty. A lot of people are kind of they're now that we are starting to warn people, less people are getting into the water. They're making sure they're not pumping out of the water. I do have stuff with me to purify it of anything, but I'm hoping we don't get to a point where we have to do that. There are pallets and pallets and pallets of bottled drinking water. It's just the downside is that the bottles of water are hard to take a shower with, and having just spent a week without showering, it's a nice thing to do every once in a while. I've been using the Geiger counter. I haven't found anything yet, but I haven't tested downstream. Out-of-state militias have tried to take over the supplies. Whether or not that's actually out-of-state militias, I don't know. Or if it's, like you said, COINTELPRO.
Yeah. I'll bet money on it. 4 to 6 months
before they get power. 4 to 6 weeks before they get water. And I've seen where they're pumping from. We'll just put in like no water for about the same as power, because it ain't going to be a good source. So I told you earlier about the different modes of killing these people, right? There was the immediate death from the actual disaster. A lot of people died from that. There's the in-between death of the just the circumstance of where they are right now. Right now, because of your guys' donations, nobody's dying from that. Nobody's dying from exposure or starvation or dehydration or anything like that. But the long-term plan is exposure to these toxins. Also, the vaccinations. These vaccinations popped up out of nowhere. Like, all of a sudden, all these different places had signs for vaccinations. Nobody really saw anybody put up these signs, and most everybody has started kicking these people out. Also, Bear brought up a good point. They are not telling these people that their houses are condemned, and Bear is right.
They're rebuilding. Condemned.
Yeah, and right now, a lot of time is spent on rebuilding these homes. Now, some of these homes, I will say, some of these homes were not flooded with a bunch of mud and stuff like that. Like, they just lost access to the outside world. There are other homes that got filled up with sand, silts, and clays, and they're all toxic right now. And they're focusing on rebuilding those homes just for them to get bulldozed later. A lot of them don't know that their houses have been condemned, and they're putting in the effort into doing that. Also, they were dealing with fake NGOs at the beginning. So there are a lot of those guys coming in, fake contractors coming in saying, yeah, I'll fix your house. Do you have a down payment of some sort? They give them the down payment, the last dime they freaking have, give them the down payment, and then those guys never come back. They never come and help. Okay, so one organization I do see coming out is Samaritan's Purse, and they are putting foot to butt, and
yeah,
those people are heavily infected right now. They're not wearing proper PPE. They're going in. There's a reason Bear shut down the muckouts. There's a reason that he doesn't want us in there like cleaning out mud anymore. And it's because this mud is toxic. These people are going to start dying. Samaritan's Purse, the most they have are work gloves and maybe a flimsy mask. I never thought I'd be telling people to wear masks before. I never thought I'd be telling people to wear masks.
I'll tell you what.
This dust.
I can concur with that. Your mom and I, we got this, and one of the big problems in all of this is getting put on false leads. I drove 2 hours away to go up there because I was told, and I told everybody in the podcast, hey, man, you know, we got a situation up here, and, you know, it was 2 hours away. They need electricians. So I went up there, man. It turned out to be a hoax, just like so many of these other things turned out to be. One good thing was is that there was a 70-year-old widow who didn't have any water at her place, and she was on a well. And so your mom and I went over there. It took me about, I don't know, 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes or so, and I got her water going on her generator. So I will say, those Samaritan's Purse people, man, I don't know where they get their funding, but boy, they are dropping some awesome dual fuel generators up there. I mean, there had to be, they had taken half of them out already, and there had to be a good 20 of them left. And these were like 12,000 kW generators. I mean, more than enough for most homes. I mean, if you need more than 12K, then you're running entirely too many. You can't be running your dryer and your oven at the same time and stuff like that. But, man, I'm telling you what, Samaritan's Purse, man, I've taken issue with some of what Franklin Graham has said in the past regarding the, you know, the thing you put in your arm. But, man, I will say, when it came as far as disaster response, man, I got nothing but good things to say about those folks. As far as the things they dropped on the ground, it was good, high quality, awesome stuff. So back to you, son.
So it's you brought up misinformation. So me and this other guy, absolutely wonderful guy. I can't mention his name, but I would love to shout him out in the future sometime. He and I spent an entire day chasing down leads. We were part of the recon team, like figuring out what these people need, who we need to send out there, what we can provide immediately for them, and stuff like that. So we were given a list of locations that people had sent in saying, hey, these people need help. They need X, Y, and Z. Every single location that we went to, every single location was foundations. So there's also a group of people out there that are sending in leads in the attempt to waste our time. Nobody really knows where these leads came from. It was just like a whiteboard that we had that was just full of like leads that needed to be checked off. every single one of those leads, we were coming to foundations. It was a very frustrating day, especially whenever you have in the back of your mind the people that you met the day before that need help right now. And now I'm over here wasting time looking at foundations all day. It was a very frustrating day. So just to recap, 82nd and 101st were ran out, supposedly ran out by militias, but the militias were gone before the 82nd was even there. But that's supposedly the reason they're gone. But they weren't really doing a whole lot anyway. Oh, also, I just remembered this. There is so much doggone air traffic that's just observing. Like, I see Chinooks all the time, and they have no payloads. Like, I don't know where they're taking off and where they're
not sling loading anything. Every Chinook I've seen doesn't have anything sling loaded to it.
I don't know where they're taking off and where they're leaving. I've been all over the place, and I haven't seen a single Chinook on the ground. But what I have seen, there's this dude, two guys. They're awesome guys. In fact, they remind me of the stories you tell me about Troy and Tippy, Dad. They came from Nebraska, Missouri's cousin. came from Nebraska, and they had us cracking up. But they are dust croppers. So they hopscotched their way across the United States to come over here and help and provide whatever intelligence they could. Just awesome people on their own dime. You know how much it takes to fill up a helicopter? Hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
And they had to fill up multiple times just to make it out here. And then while they were out here, they were flying around, showing us whatever we needed to, landing wherever they needed to go the whole time. They might still actually be out there. I'm not entirely sure. But, people have to drive to Asheville, even though the Tennessee location is closer for FEMA support, like the funding on the back end. They have to drive to Asheville instead of using the close by Tennessee location. Oh, here's an interesting one. So they can't bring out any workers to actually help these people, but they can designate almost 4,000 workers to rebuild the railroad that's leading into the quartz mine out of Spruce Pine.
Get out of town.
Yep. They can dedicate almost 4,000 workers to rebuild this railroad to bring quartz in and out of Spruce Pine. So there's that.
Spruce Pine, for those that don't know, it's a town basically up the road from us. And they got this quartz that it's basically the only place on the planet where you can find this quartz that is essential in a lot of stuff. And
it's a super high quality quartz, apparently.
Right. It's on another level. Apparently, it can't be found anywhere else. And it sure is curious that we got money for warfare, but we don't have money for widows.
Yeah. And then the last point I had written down, and after this, I would like to answer people's questions if you don't mind, Dad.
Sure.
I know it's getting late where you are. Then the military planes and helicopters constantly flying overhead, not providing any kind of support. It's like they're just sightseeing or something. Or the human guy that was with me was saying, they're probably scanning our stuff right now. They're probably finding out everything we just found out right now. So there's that option as well. I don't know what's going on, but it seems odd that they're constantly overhead. Also, they've shut down airspace in certain areas, like a place named Little Germany. Okay. So if you get on Google Maps and you find Little Germany and you start going over into the mountains and you start looking into the mountains, you'll start seeing cleared off areas with ventilation and then mining tunnels. There's a lot of weird things going on over there right now. There's a lot of weird things. And then Bear, I can confirm what Bear has said about those secret meetings. 100%. 100%. That's exactly what's happening. A couple of people are wondering about Bear's channel. It's called Bear Independent, his latest video. I can confirm every single thing he said in that video. He is 100% accurate. There's no exaggeration. He's not leaving anything out. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, folks.
If you have any questions, folks, that are getting in a little bit late, I mean, William was on the ground with Bear Independent and his group over there doing a lot of this recovery work. And I wanted him to get on here and spit this out, you know, everything he knew,
There is more, but I just can't say it on this platform. And I'm not trying to leave anybody in the dark. It's just it could potentially get other people hurt that did not sign up for this. There's more information. And, yeah, this is where we are, y'all. If you guys have any questions, leave them down below. Even if you already asked it, leave it again so that way we can see it. What about using Flo-Ride to eat that stuff? Are you talking about fluoride? I have chlorine dioxide with me. So if we need to start treating water, then we can go ahead and do that. If we need to start cleaning stuff up, we can do that. We just can't do that to the whole doggone like river and multiple river systems.
Here's one here. What is the email address we should give Mike to contact you or Billy? Billy at permapasturesfarm.com. And I can, you know, I got a hotline to Bear Independent or, we need somebody that can also expedite this stuff. And like I said, I'll pay whatever we will get. I just raised $300,000, not me, but all of us collectively just raised $300,000 for the farmers here and that bakery in town. I'm pretty sure we could put some money together to get some doggone testing done because we just had Governor Cooper. If you haven't noticed, that polecat governor here in North Carolina, basically come over here to Marshall, North Carolina, say, oh, everything's just fine up here, just kind of like J.D. Vance did in Ohio after that that spill up there with the dioxins. Yeah. Well, Governor Cooper came over here and polecat Cooper, that's what I'm going to call him.
Hey, you know a connection I just made?
Huh?
FEMA Blue doesn't get burned down by directed energy weapons.
How about that, son?
Yeah. I put everybody who was curious what email to send him. I put dad's email and I put my email in there as well. Dad's is permapasturesfarm@gmail.com. Mine is thepermacultureconsultant@gmail.com. I don't care who he gets a hold of. Just try to get a hold of him. Tony's in the house. He's saying the system is broken.
Broken?
You know, I would... Okay, the government system, yes, that is broken. The local community system, it's so doggone resilient.
So doesn't this beg the question, then why on earth is anybody paying taxes? Why are you stealing my money anyway when y'all can print, when they just print it anyway? Like I said, just last week alone, The biggest slap in the face to the American people. This is why I say we live in the United States of Amnesia, because we just gave the week before last, when all this went down, we gave $8 billion to Ukraine, $8.7 to Israel. What was it? $547 to Taiwan. And then the numbers keep counting. And then, you know, that idiot in the White House right now goes down to Florida. Oh, we're going to give you half $1 billion for infrastructure, $500 million to the very people. And still nobody cares. I mean, yeah, the people in the chat, the nearly 1,000 people that are listening right now care, but by and large, you can't get most of these hoople heads to take a second look at what's going on right now. And if there was ever a time where we needed to have a tax revolt, for crying out loud, this is it. But sadly, it's going to have to get a whole lot worse. That's sadly the case.
One of these questions, Art and Angel asked, there's more storms coming. What are lessons learned that any of us can take if the next storm comes our way? We don't know which town may be hit next. So the things that, let me take this away real quick, Dad. The things that I have noticed just from the people in the area, people had some sort of food put back just because that's the nature of the mountain community is like, hey, they just can excess stuff. It's just part of what they do back there. So food seemed to be, I would say they maybe had 2 weeks of food, or maybe 2 to 3 weeks of food. Water, nobody views water back there as valuable because it is a temperate rainforest. So nobody had any water stored up. Everybody was on a well. All those wells got filled up with silt. All of them are filled. So that was another thing. fuel for generators. Everybody, to some extent, had some sort of way to power a generator. The people that did have a generator, it was not powerful enough for their well water. So there's that. And then they didn't have enough fuel put back for it to keep going for any extended period of time. And then here's one area that I'm severely lacking in is communication.
Yeah.
Dad, we got to get that figured out.
Yeah, we got it worked out. I ain't going to talk about it right now, but me and your mom are on the trail. Not on the trail. Things, you know, it was funny because this was a blessing in disguise, at least here in the mountains, at least for us. And I was on the phone with other people just today, as a matter of fact, where I'm sitting here taking stock. And the last two podcasts I did, I'm basically talking about the things we got right and the things we got wrong. And given all of this, communication was something I didn't put a whole lot of stock in before, because I'm like, man, if it jumps off, I don't care. I mean, I don't really care, but it's having communication with the people you love that you really have got to get ironed out. So that's one of the things. And like, I think William covered a lot of it right there. What else we got in here?
And then also medical supplies. Just by nature of doing some of this stuff, you know, you're going to get hurt. And then also whenever you get a cut, scrape, bruise, anything like that in a toxic environment, it becomes way worse. So medical supplies is another thing that a lot of people overlook. A lot of people just focus on the food part. Not enough people focus on everything else. Like, yes, you can grow your medicine, but it's also good to have some emergency medicine as well.
Might even consider, you know, having a little cache points too. I mean, places where you could take like there's a number of ways of going about it where you can take a 4-inch PVC pipe with a cap on each end. I mean, there's a lot of people that go about doing this stuff a different way. Talis is asking, what size generator would you recommend for the average household? Now, it's kind of a loaded question, but I'll tell you this much, Talis and anybody else out there, if you know how to load shed, and what I mean is that you don't run every single thing in your house all at the same time. My house is electrically heavy, okay? And I'm telling you what, when I had my generator going here and we had it running for more than one. Two is one, one is none, and get dual fuel if you can. Anyway, I was pulling 8 amps at the most with 8 freezers. I mean, at the most. And you can turn them off at night so you can conserve fuel. And the only time I would ever, you know, okay, so let's say you got electric, hot water, whatever the case may be thinking about some backup plans. I'm talking about you could do a solar water heater. Or basically hot water is really a luxury. Boiling water. Man, you want to think about getting one of those stoves you can put outside where you can take the sunlight. I can't think of that. What do you call that? Like the, if you can avoid
water heater.
No, you can do that. Well, you can heat water that way, but you can cook your food in it. It's like a solar oven. That's what it's called.
Oh, sun oven.
Yeah, sun oven, man. Those things are for real, dude. And the cool thing is that, folks, if you find yourself in a collapse scenario or something like that, I want you to think about something. So everybody says, well, I'll just start a fire. Okay, you sure you want to do that in a tactical environment? Because if you find yourself in certain situations, it just became a tactical environment. So when you start a fire, you got to figure every person who is fasting, their senses become more acute. So if you're out there and you smell a fire, you can kind of think, okay, somebody else is out there. Okay, not only can you smell it, you can see it. So that's where one of those sun ovens is kind of handy. If you can go ahead, because it's aiming the reflection right back at the sun. So, you know, you could heat up your grub. I mean, you'd be shocked at what you can do with those things, man. It's really something else.
Gina Maynard says, can I claim 15 million dependents on my taxes?
Yeah. Oh, great idea. Yeah. Like Marianne says, why pay taxes for this nonsense and evilness? I mean, man, I'm right there with you. I mean, it's at this point, I don't even know why on earth any of us is paying anything. We're sending all of it. First of all, why am I paying in the first place when you can print it? And that's what they do 9 times out of 10 anyway. So why are they caring? So you know this thing is a manufactured crisis in so many different ways. We'll take a couple more, son, and then we'll let you catch some Z's, man, because I know you got to be tuckered out. Good night, man.
Yeah, I'm just pissed off now.
Yeah, but you need to get some Z's, man. You got another big day tomorrow, but the good thing, just bought a as far as the generator, I'm sorry, I never did answer that part of it. If you get a 5,000, if that's all you can afford, I would get it, but here's what's critical. Make sure that generator can produce 240 volts if you're on a well or you have other critical devices that run on 240 volts. Like, let's say you find your water heater critical, which I don't. The thing that is critical that's 240 is your well pump, and most well pumps are going to run on 240, and nobody ever thinks about that when they buy a generator. If it doesn't power 240, you know, you might want to keep looking. Same with your solar generator system. Now, that's not always the case. I can take that solar generator and it's mobile. I can put it where I need it and it's pulling 120 volts. So it's really handy out in the field. But if you're going to get water out of that well, you're going to need 240, Jack.
Yeah. I'm going through there. I mean, there's just a lot of questions right now. A lot of people are asking, oh, whoa, hold on. Something's going on with these comments, because right now I'm cycling through and it's like on a loop. I'm just seeing the same thing, like a looped. This is
That might be on your end, son.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's happening here.
Okay, that's good. But a lot of people are asking, how do we get out of paying taxes? Like, a lot of people have jobs and they have bills to pay. How do we get out of paying taxes?
I got ways for that, but honestly, I can't talk about it right now. You know, one way of doing it that I know a lot of people are doing right now is forming a trust. So you can do it yourself, or you can pay somebody for like $7,500 to get it done. Yeah, who's got $7,500 laying around these days? Or you could do the work yourself. I mean, the first part of it involves getting your birth certificate double authenticated. And it's amazing how simple it is. And then you do business as a trust. That's what a lot of the rich folks do.
Another person is asking, how do we build the community that these people are doing right now? Like, how do we build like a community, like what's going on in Western North Carolina right now? Y'all, I don't know. And in fact, I made the comment, had this happened somewhere else, there'd be a lot more dead people. It's something about the area. It's like, it had this, okay, so one of the guys that was one of the victims out there, he was actually in his trailer filming what was going on as his vehicles were parked in the way of the flood. And he was high enough up so where nothing got like taken down. I mean, his trailer did get shifted, but it was anchored into the doggone bedrock there. I don't, like, whoever built buildings out there that survived this flood needs to start advertising the fact that they built these doggone buildings. But he got footage of him, the water coming towards him, flooding his vehicles, flooding his trailer, stuff like that. He came from the Philly area. And I had made the comment, had this happened in Philly, none of this, like circling, pointing to the surrounding area, everybody working together, none of this would be going on right now. I don't have an answer for that as far as how to build this type of community.
I remember when we lived, it's funny you bring that up, because I remember back when we were living up in Kansas, we lived about an hour outside of Kansas City and a little town up there. Anyway, we had a real bad snowstorm, as you know, those things happen in those places. And people in the city, instead of going out there forming like a shovel brigade and getting the streets cleared out, people were absolutely going to die in place because the trucks did not come by. It's not like it was ice, man. It was snow. And they couldn't even, they were too trifling to get enough people together up and down the street. So yeah, but it's like that in a lot of rural communities where people will come. I mean, there's a lot of us up here that want to be left alone, man. I mean, I'm one of them. And there's a lot of other people out here that want to be left alone as well. But when times get stupid and things come down, well, they do come together as well. And for all the right reasons. But yeah, if this sort of thing were to happen in the city, it would very much end up like New Orleans did, you know, back when Katrina happened. So, look, y'all, the bottom line in all of this is the tagline of this show is stay alert, stay alive. I mean, it's an Army slogan. And there, in some cases, yeah, you're going to have those. Look, when they're using weather weapons on you, I mean, call me conspiracy nut if you want to. Like I said, it is beyond all doubt in my view at this point that these things were used.
Appalachian Pilgrim said, yeah, and I pronounced it correctly. Appalachian Pilgrim said, I have been documenting the illegal chem spraying in East Tennessee all during this. So it's funny that you said that. So since Tennessee, I know there was a delay in actually making it illegal, like there was a year delay or something like that. But since Tennessee made that illegal, I have not, and I go through Tennessee pretty frequently, I have not witnessed chemtrails in Tennessee until this trip. This is when I started noticing that there was chemtrails going on, or what's the proper term for it, Dad? What's the term that Dan Wigington wants us to use?
Aerosol, stratospheric aerosol injections.
All right, so chemtrails. I've seen those like crazy going through East Tennessee recently. And I just literally on the way to this hotel, I was thinking, oh, wow, this seems like they're trying to get in as much as they can before this goes illegal, before this like takes effect. Yeah, it's odd. I don't know exactly what's going on.
Well, I'll tell you, it's funny you mentioned that because let me talk about the anomalies that happened ever since this whole thing. Son, you can ask your mom. Okay. So a couple of days, well, first of all, before this whole hurricane hit, folks, I'm gonna tell you some stories you may not know about. So days and days or several days before, they were spraying like crazy. And before the hurricane actually hit, we couldn't understand what was going on because it was raining cats and dogs and it was not forecasted. None of it was. It was raining cats and dogs to the point that in the lower points of Asheville were absolutely flooded already before that hurricane even arrived. And I was like, this makes no sense at all. This makes no sense. And like I said, they were spraying like crazy. So then, lo and behold, that thing comes through, does its thing. 2 hours later, all of a sudden, we don't have power. Not during the event, 2 hours afterwards, all of a sudden, we don't have power or internet or anything like it. Okay. Son, I kid you not. 2 days after the, 3 days after the storm went through, it was cloud cover. And then every single day until just today, actually, it has been the bluest blue sky you've ever seen in your life. And Dane Wigington said that would happen. Whenever they pull a major scam like this, they usually don't spray for a while. It was the most pleasant, bluest weather you've ever seen in your life. I haven't seen skies this blue since I was a kid. I mean, the bluest blue. And then all of a sudden, day before yesterday, they started spraying again. And it started off with a mist. And then it got a little bit bigger. And then all of a sudden we got a cold snap that wasn't even predicted. So if you folks just pay attention, when you see that spraying going on in the sky, just know that something soon thereafter is going to happen. And they can basically, I mean, this has been in the patents forever and a day. Go check out geoengineeringwatch.org or go watch the documentary. I think 25 million people have watched it so far. It's called The Dimming, D-I-M-M-I-N-G. So look, they are doing this stuff, and thank God for Tennessee, who was the first state to make it illegal. And at least now people can't say, well, that's a conspiracy theory. Hey, Americans, learn how to say the words conspiracy without adding theory to it.
Anybody who's curious or anybody who claims conspiracy theory, come follow me. I'll show you. I'll show you that this is no longer a theory. I will show you how it's affected these people. And it's amazing how many like FEMA cucks get into the comment section. They're like, oh, that's not FEMA's job, or oh, FEMA's doing the best they can. No, they're not. I have witnessed what they are doing. There are four DEI hires. Three of them can't be bothered to look up from their phone, and all of them couldn't run half a mile.
Well, I mean, that, when you get down to brass tacks with all this, son, I've worked in the government for altogether maybe 10 years, and whether it was in the military or working as a, you know, in the civilian sector in the government, it is without a doubt. I mean, you get some really awesome people, but those are rare. But by and large, you get the laziest life forms. And I'm not even sure you could classify some of them. And you get bureaucrats that all they want to do is just, you know, ascend up the ladder of bureaucracy. And that's their number one goal.
Hey, so, we've got Thor from the producer from Frame the Fly up in the chat.
Oh, Thor.
Yeah.
Thor, what's up?
Yeah, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, I didn't even know he was in there, but cool. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, son, I know it's getting a little bit late, y'all. I know, folks, he wouldn't disappoint. I wanted him, reason why we did this impromptu thing, I'll be honest with you, I wanted to do it for my son's protection. For those that don't know, William is my son. And he was out here, he called earlier. And while I said, look, man, this is like nitroglycerin, dude. You got to get this stuff out here. What I didn't know is that Bear was going to do a incendiary video. So Bear Independent, go check him out. Go check out Grindstone Ministries. And folks, donate all you can, because it's people like that that are, it's that whole group over there, man, that are doing the real work out there. My son was volunteering with Grindstone Ministries. And
I can't exaggerate this enough. You guys are, or not exaggerate, but I can't drive home this point enough, that everybody who is donating and everybody who is praying is what's keeping these communities going. And honestly, if I had any recommendation for these communities, for these people that are still there, I would say they need to go. They need to leave. And it feels like the enemy has won by saying that. But it's just, yeah, they gotta leave. We gotta fix these toxins before they can start coming back.
And we got to, and you know what? That's another video we should do on down the line, because right now, one of the things that we're working on is, saying when you roll back, bring that Geiger counter with you, because we kind of need it in these parts. You know, the truth of it is, there's not too much out here in this world that can't be remediated with biology, with good biology. And we got it right here at this farm.
Yeah. Thank the Lord for that.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to
try how bad you screw it up, we can fix it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, you know, I mean, there's a microbe out there that'll eat whatever's out there, and we have the technology. We know how to do this. And so I'm working with a team that's actually looking at ways to try to do this, but we've got to have a baseline. We've got to have some testing done. And folks, look, man, it's been driving me crazy. I keep going to you guys saying, hey, can you donate money? And for the record, I have not taken one thin dime for any of the people out there saying, oh, you're some grifter. Well, tell me, how am I grifting when I'm losing money every single day? I'm not working on my farm doing or seeing my other business interests out here. I've lost a lot of money. I'll just say that. I'm not complaining.
The fact that I will probably get a job after this is all said and done, which is fine. I mean, not that I don't already have a job, but this is a way more important. Like I said before, this is what I would want somebody to do if I was in this situation.
No, son, I totally get it. But there's going to be those people out there that say, oh, you're a grifter. Well, shouldn't I benefit as a grifter? I mean, I'd like somebody to explain to me, because of the 300,000 so that we've raised for other people, I haven't gotten one thin dime, nor will I take it. If offered, I will not take it. But I am probably going to come to everybody out here again. I mean, I don't know what these remediation efforts are going to require. And frankly, I would understand if everybody was tapped out, or you just couldn't help, or you're just trying to put bread on your own table. I totally get it. And I wouldn't blame you one bit. I'm going to do it one way or the other. And like William said, if I got to go out there, if I got to put my tools back on, and I thought I was out of the game, but man, if I got to put my tools on to go out here and do what I need to, and if I got to do it alone, I'll do it. I mean, I don't care what it takes. I mean, this is one beautiful, pristine area, or at least it used to be. And then we can make it that way again, and we can use biology to do it. But I'm going to need – I'll figure out a way to pay for this testing. I'm not even worried about it. I know the Lord will provide one way or the other. Well, son, anything – tell everybody where they can find you.
The permaculture consultant That's where you can find the YouTube channel. And the last two videos I've done, there's the Give, Send, Go link down below. That's where you can donate directly to me. It's once again, it's the Permaculture Consultant. And that donation, every single dime that gets donated plus more is going to go to these people. It's going to go to helping these people. Even if it's just like providing a temporary relief to somebody's kids, which thankfully I've seen very, very few of. That's where all the money is going. Also, if you want to give to somebody else, that's perfectly fine. Grindstone Ministries, they don't take a profit. Nobody out there right now is on a payroll. They are all donating their time. And then also, guys, here's another thing that I just thought of. There's a lot of people that are volunteering, have families and have day jobs, and there's quite a few of them that do live paycheck to paycheck that are putting themselves in a bind in order to help somebody else. They're donating their own time. They're donating their own resources, their own skills. Also, one other thing. There's a person I met out there. His name is Cody. He is from Wrangler Star. He is an absolutely fantastic man. And I'm not just saying that because he has a large platform. I know a lot of his videos make a lot of people angry. But having met this person in person, he is an outstanding man. He's doing what a lot of us can't do right now with his arbor skills. So I just wanted to shout that out because he gets a lot of hate. And having now met him, it's pretty unwarranted.
All right. Well, son, hey, I want to thank everybody in the chat. I mean, we got like a record number tonight, and man, I hope y'all got a better understanding as to what's going, you know, real deal stuff that's going on in the boots in the ground. And I'm not going to let this go, y'all. I'm so sick and tired every single time I put on Fox News or MSNBC or any of those others, if I'm listening in, or, you know, God forbid, NPR, everything you hear from these people is a manufactured lie. All of it. Every single bit of it. All of these people are prostitutes. They're not giving you the news. They're lying to you. And I am not going to let this go. And if they think they're going to poison these mountains up here, they're going to poison these hollers, they're going to poison all these kids that play down by that river, which they're almost certainly going to do.
Oh, guess what water they get at the schools? School's going back in next week. They're off fall break. So yeah, people are going back to schools next week. Guess what water goes to these schools?
Yeah. So this is, I'm not going to let this go, y'all. I mean, I don't care if people unsubscribe. I don't care what the case may be. I am not going to let these people get away from it. Or maybe they'll just unsubscribe me or, you know, scrub me off the internet anyway. Look, I don't care. I'm going to work at remediating this stuff. I'm going to try to put the blame on who it is. I'm not going to quit. Bottom line. And then one of the next big things I hope to do is really work with Dame Wigington on ending geoengineering in North Carolina. Maybe it creates a steamroll. You know, all these things are starting to see the light of day. Sadly, I think we have got to suffer a little bit more before people really start waking up. Hey, I want to give everybody a shout out and thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for checking things out. Until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
On the individual, just a carbon copy. You sitting at Manicotti, yeah, I'm talking saucy. All they wanna build is a prison world full of pet Tamagotchis. Like a kamikaze, got me out of body like I'm Goku SS3. They wanna push me to the center like a cell. They wanna spill up at the center of the next is me. They want me to battle, but I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior. I will never bow down, cause I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior.